Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Wait till you get there. I've been talking about people being vexed for the last couple of times, and another one that you need to listen to, I got a lot of persecution over as the world turns. So that one made the devil mad, so I think we need to put that link below. People don't want to know what's going on, and there is a price to tell it. But we're going to obey God as long as he gives us the strength and people to help us. And like these videos, please, and share. It really means a lot because it's a day we have a little opportunity here. Let's use it to share. And today I want to talk, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go. It's been about 5 messages, and I've said we're not doing that. That one was just for me. But we've been talking about being vexed, and today I want to talk about mourning and grief. Because so many people are going through things. I've talked to a lot of people, including myself. Changes are happening. Changes are happening in the world like we've never seen, and fast. And people are choosing sides, or people are dying, or people are getting sick, or there's so much division in the world and the country and politics and religion. It's a day that we have to know how to grieve. We have to learn how to mourn, because the Bible says, blessed are those that mourn. Do you know it's blessed to mourn? How many messages have we heard about mourning? When I was in the movement I was in, you couldn't grieve. You didn't have enough faith. If someone died, you shouldn't even feel it. Well, guess what? We have emotions, and we're in charge of our emotions, God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, but he wants us to learn how to grieve, how to rejoice, how to not be offended. And I guess because I've been in the ministry many, many years, I've had to practice. I've been criticized by experts. Experts are just little spurts away from home. But I had to keep going because I felt like God wanted me to. And through the years I've learned there's no shame in being in mourning and grieving. But we've not been allowed to. Because if you cried, there was something wrong with you. But no, we're going to learn today, when you cry, it's okay, because you don't need to be fixed. There's nothing wrong. You love something very dearly, and when it's gone, you have to grieve it. And all through life, we have changes. So, blessed are those who mourn. This whole thing is good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, verse 3, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you know we have a comforter? There's so many times in my life I would have not made it. Especially I was thinking now when my son was having surgery, he was just born, they didn't think he'd live. And the peace of God actually literally carried me through. And that's what he wants to do in these end times, as we face changes and challenges and division and people that are really immature and offended and they don't know how to deal with things correctly. We're seeing families. I talked to families this week, ministers, churches are splitting. People aren't going back to church. People are offended. People are getting worldly. They don't even want to pray. They don't even want God. They're just, the spirit of unholiness has just crept in. So what are we going to do? How are we going to walk through these dark days? We have to know. He didn't say it was going to be easy. Jesus said to his disciples, you want to leave too? That's right. How many times have you heard that? You want to leave too? Because the way's narrow. And he wants us to follow him, even if other people don't want to follow. We still, right. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. Amen. You've got to make that decision. And sometimes you have to make it in hard times, in hard places. You can't put anything before him. You can't put your family, your kids. You have to make sure that you keep him first. Amen. And you follow his will. And sometimes the will that he wants you to walk is not an easy road. And that's the problem with Christianity. We thought it was going to be easy. And it has been up to this point in America. But times are changing. So you have to know, when things are lost, when you lose a parent, when you lose a job, people are losing their jobs, everything. You have to know how to grieve. You have to know how to mourn. So we're going to talk about that. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the hungry, verse 6. Blessed are the meek, verse 5. Pure in heart, verse 8. Peacemakers. He didn't call us to be troublemakers. If you disagree with someone, there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. You got to do it in the spirit, and you got to do it in love. There's no reason to be offended and bitter and do things out of a bad spirit. We have to not let the spirit of bitterness get us in these end times, because we're going to be tempted with angry invitations daily. Just get in your car and drive. The people are nuts the way they're driving. And you can't let that take up all your energy. Just this offense and that offense and this offense. So I've had a lot of practice forgiving, but I see a lot of people don't know how to. They don't know how to let things drop. We have to let things drop, or you can't move on. And people get stuck in bitterness, and they don't move on. They don't know how to forgive. And as a result, they're stuck. They're stuck in all this offense. It's not worth it. If people have offended you, and they will, and they have, and they will to come, we have to learn how to let it go. So blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I'm also grieving my spiritual grandma. There's things now we know that's going on. A lot of you have grandparents, and it's sad when you see, and I don't want to cry, then I become a blubbering idiot. But you see them going. You see them, that their time is coming to an end. And it's sad. But this also is a tunnel to the next world that they're going on. They're going to a better place. But we still grieve. We still mourn. And division amongst friends and families. You either decide with this group or that group. There's such division we've never seen. And I warned you years ago that this division was coming. In churches, this was also part of the whole plan of Germany, that the churches would divide. And I did a message on Christian against Christian. The sad part is we're living it now. But God prepared us. He told us that these days were here. So blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. To refuse to mourn is the refusal to say goodbye. To refuse to mourn is a refusal to say goodbye. We have to learn to say goodbye. Now, I have a granddaughter. She's 8 now, but when she was little, she didn't want to let go of her doll. She didn't want to let go of her sunglasses, and I'd have to say, you have to say goodbye. I had to teach her, because that way your hands are free to face the day, and if you're carrying all this stuff around, it's a beautiful day, but you have these dolls, and what are we going to do with these dolls? You know, you want to pet a dog or something. So I had to teach her how to say goodbye. I've never met a child like that. I had to teach say goodbye to things. Some people are different, but we haven't been taught it's okay to say goodbye. Then you can pick it up later. And some things you never get to pick up again. And I've told you this before, but when my mom died when I was in junior high school, I didn't know how to mourn. I wasn't saved. No one was saved. And when my mom died, no one talked about it. Nobody even said anything. It's like, what do? You have a funeral and then that's it? So I didn't process, I didn't know how to do things, and then one day, a whole bunch of preachers' wives were together, and they were all talking about their mothers. I was in Canada, and guess what? I just lost it. I started bawling about, what's wrong? Because I missed my mom, but I hadn't grieved. I didn't know how to mourn. I didn't know how to say goodbye. And when my dad died, I decided I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to pre-grieve. I knew that he was fighting a lot of things. Every time I saw him, I was saying a little goodbye, because I didn't want to deal with that trauma of not knowing how to say goodbye to my mom. And so I want to help some of you learn how to deal with loss. I've had a lot of loss in my life, and so have a lot of you. But that doesn't mean you're over. It doesn't mean it's done. It doesn't mean God's done with you just because people have left you. You have to learn how to keep going and get that strength in the Holy Spirit to forgive and move forward, because it's a new day. So, but refusal to say goodbye to people, to change. One thing, change is always happening. Nothing we do stays the same. Even our neighborhoods. You go downtown, everything's changing. Restaurants are changing. Well, I used to like that. Where did it go? Change is always with us. So the refusal to mourn makes us hard. It makes us rigid. We live in denial, and we're open to bitterness. Now, there's two things. There's an owner, and there's a blamer. And you have to decide what you're going to be. Because every chance in life, you're either going to get bitter, or you're going to choose to get better. Because you can't control other people. God doesn't want us to control other people. but we have to deal with ourselves, and we are responsible for our thoughts, our behavior. But an owner takes responsibility. I blew it. I made a mistake. You know, it takes a big person to own things. I respect people when they can own up to what they did. There's a humility. It just happens because you own, you take responsibility for your own offenses and your own behavior. And you know what happens? You grow. But then there's the blamers. They shift. Nothing's ever their fault. They shift responsibility to blame, to criticize, and they never judge themselves. Well, the Bible tells us we need to judge ourselves. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart. We're all tempted to be angry now. I know a lot of lies that are going on. I think I need one of these. Thanks. We all have temptations to be angry. We watch the news, and we know the propaganda that's going on. If you've been listening to what I've been teaching, and that's what's frustrating to me, is I've warned and warned and warned. People don't want to listen. Right. But it's in our back doors, and it shall continue to be in our back doors, because we're living in Matthew 24, many shall be offended, and many shall betray one another. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be me. Now in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if you're born again, you become a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In an instant, God changed some things. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You accepted Christ. You've been forgiven of all your sins. But there was a lot of things about us that didn't change. If you were bald when you got saved, you're still bald. I always like to say that one. But if we had a problem with anger, temptation, whatever, we still got to deal with those things. It just didn't go away. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's an old fairy tale that the princess kissed that old frog, and he poofed into a handsome prince. Well, that doesn't happen to us. We didn't poof. We grow by struggle, by making mistakes, rising again after a fall. I look back and I think, how did God even stay with me at some of the stupid choices I've made? Have you ever made any bad choices? And at the time, it just seemed like such a right thing, and you look back and you go, that wasn't the Lord at all, but you thought at the time. So that's what deception is, and that's what we keep praying, Lord, keep us from deception, because that's going to be the end time, deception and delusion. People don't want the truth. They want their ears tickled, and they want pleasant sayings. We grow, not poof, into maturity. Our change is gradual. Many of us frogs were kissed by Jesus, but we still have some green warts and say ribbit, ribbit from time to time. And that's what makes us the body of Christ, is that we're all different. We all have issues. We all have struggles. And we have to learn how to walk together with people that don't agree with us. And this is a day that people have no tolerance for anything. That's why I hardly go on Facebook or anything, because there's so much fighting. I just delete, delete, delete. It's like we don't have time to sit and fight and argue. This is what the enemy wants. He wants us divided. So now we have to learn to deal with trials, problems, attacks within. Jesus had attacks within. He had Judas. He let us see Judas because he wanted us to know that we're going to have problems within and without. It'd be enough if it was just out there. But Christian's going to be fighting against Christian. The churches have been infiltrated. The music has been infiltrated. And people that see it can't understand why other people can't see it. And people that can't see it think you're nuts. And of course, they label you as a conspiracy theorist. You know what a conspiracy is? A secret plan. So when God gives you eyes to see, you see the plan. That's right. You see the enemy, and you aren't deceived by it. Amen. We have emotions. And did you know you have some flesh to deal with? You a little get carnal and act out sometimes. Why? Because you're still saying ribbit, ribbit from time to time. You're a little fleshly. People act like they don't, but just be with them a while. Ask their wife. Ask their husband. Do they ribbit, ribbit? Yeah, they do. In other words, we're growing. We're growing. We got to keep walking. But Hebrews 12:15 talks about a root of bitterness. And this is the thing. There's going to be angry invitations. I have a message on that. Every day, are you going to be taking the bait of Satan and be angry? It says here that a root of bitterness, which is springs up, will trouble you, and thereby a few, many, will be defiled. What's defilement? It means to make corrupt, pollute, or make unclean, impure. How do we get defiled? By being offended. That's why there's betrayal, because you haven't dealt with that root. When things happen, you got to go and leave things at the altar and make it right with your brethren so you don't later down the road have a earthquake and a volcano eruption because you haven't dealt with your offense. And then when you have that eruption, guess what? You defile everybody else around you because you have a root that defiles. If you're throwing sewage into a river, you defile it. We don't want to defile other people. Now, we work through things, we process, but don't be defiling, going around and just destroying people's character. That means that you have a root. There's a root in there that needs to be judged and forgiven. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I found this very interesting. In the Hebrew culture, any poisonous plant was called a bitter plant. Poison destroys, and the result of ingesting a poisonous plant would be bitter. So here the author of Hebrews is telling us this bitter root, it's going to bring harm. If you have unforgiveness and a bitter root, it's going to cause harm in the church, and it's going to cause harm in your relationships. So the bitter root in Hebrews refers to a source of evil or wickedness within the church. A root may be small and slow in growth. If you don't deal with little offenses, guess what? They grow. A root may be small and slow in growth, but it carries poison, it's malignant, and it's dangerous. Sin in the church must be diligently rooted out. The result of tolerating wickedness is the reason that many will be defiled, because we don't deal with that defilement, and then it gets all over on other people. Think of Ananias and Sapphira. You know what happened to them, right? So let's talk about grief and loss. Losses are a part of life, even necessary. I usually teach on this at funerals. I don't like doing funerals, so don't ask me to do any more. I'm like, I don't like doing funerals, but I've done a few. And you have to deal with loss. And it's a time there's closure. You're saying goodbye to something. But there's losses all the time that we don't realize are affecting us. Lobsters experience a major loss each year. They shed their protective shell, making them vulnerable for attack. But if they don't get rid of that protective shell, they can't mate. And if they don't get rid of that protective shell every year, they could die out, be stunted, and not grow. So change has to happen. Same with us. Change has to happen. You got rid of those baby teeth. Remember how you just hated losing that tooth? You get rid of teeth, right? Gotta lighten you up a little bit. Then a new tooth comes in, and it's a permanent tooth. But that loss was not fun. Any loss is not fun. I remember when my son graduated from high school, and I saw him drive down the driveway, and I knew it was a new beginning and that he was going to go to college. And I cried. But I thought, how selfish. I'm crying for myself. He needs to enter into a new door. But it's still hard. As a mom, you take care of him, and all of a sudden they don't want to see you. Bye! And then you turn him over to another woman. No one told me what that would be like. I thought they'd be my little boys forever. No one teaches you these. It's loss. But with it, it's very necessary to go forward. Change occurs through loss. Change, growth, occurs through loss. Loss isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But it's part of life. So why haven't we been taught how to mourn? We've been taught in churches how to prosper. Yeah. And a few do on the top. But we haven't been taught real things. We haven't taught how to really deal with being vexed, with being grieved, with all the things that we have to deal with. Instead, it's like you have to walk by faith. Well, then all your emotions are cut off. You don't know how to deal with life. You've never been taught how to deal with. And so what happens? People just backslide because they don't know how to deal with offense. People are the meanest in church. I could tell you stories and write you books how mean people are in church. But that doesn't give you an excuse to backslide. They didn't save you. Jesus did. So you got to walk. You got to walk through changes. It's part of life. Grief is hard work. And you're going to have to do the hard work to come out of hurtful situations. Put your flesh, oh, there's some things I've wanted to say. There's some letters I wanted to write. But because I walk in the fear of the Lord, you don't do that. You don't purposely cause another person to stumble. I had to deal with myself. And as being in the ministry, as long as I have, many people have, there's no reason really I should even be preaching today. I should have been dead. The pain and the suffering that comes through church people. Why? Because they're like little frogs that have warts and they ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And then you learn they're just growing too. They're just making mistakes. They're going to have to live life and they're dealing with loss and they could be projecting onto you. You don't know what somebody else is going through, so you forgive them. And you can't forgive someone without the Holy Spirit's help. But he helps us. He said he'll comfort us. Blessed are those that mourn. They shall be comforted. With each loss comes denial. The first emotion you're going to have, I don't believe this. I can't wrap my head around it. My dad's gone. He'll never call me again. Many of you went through this. It's denial of something that's always been habitual. Now it's gone. How do I deal with that? Then comes shock. And then comes the anger. And you have to go through some of these stages, but don't get stuck in one. People that get stuck in anger, we don't want to be around you. Because you don't know how to work through it, and then you defile everybody. Right. Then you get into self-pity, grief, and then fear. Some people are afraid to love again. They got hurt, and they don't ever want to deal with that again. Well, if God sends someone to you, and you haven't forgiven, and you're walking in fear, you aren't going to be open to him. So the meaning and extent of each loss varies for each person. First of all, we all have different personalities and we all grieve differently. We all mourn differently. And it depends how close you were to that thing, that person, that job. So each person's going to have a different way and a different way they deal with grief by the investment they made. If you're very invested in a friendship, when that friendship ends or you lose your mate and you were very close, you didn't just lose. I can feel this so strong. You didn't just lose a husband. You lost your handyman, the guy that does the banking. You've lost your companion. You've lost so much. And no one deals with widows. People don't know how to deal with widows, so they just leave them alone. They're mourning and they're grieving, and they have to come through it. And you have to be able to sit through a person's stories over and over and over. That's okay. Don't just say, I heard that already. They might need to say it again, and you need to listen to them because they're sharing part of their heart. And maybe that's the last time they have to say it, and they won't have to say it again because you listened and they got healed that time. But we do that to people. We just cut them off, and we don't want to deal with any of their stuff. We just want everyone to deal with our stuff. So we have to mature. We have to grow up. We need closure to be able to move on. That's why we have funerals. A lot of people didn't have funerals last year. You need a funeral or closure. Sometimes friends just, you know, do really strange things. You don't get closure. You don't get closure from a pastor that was abusive to you. You don't get closure. So what do? You have to learn to ask the Lord to help you with the difficulties. Lord, harden me to difficulties. Harden me enough so that I can make it through, but don't let me get bitter. Keep my heart soft. Keep my heart forgiving. Life is full of relationships. Just think of all the friends you thought you'd never lose. Since high school, since grade school. People that graduate, how hard that is, because it's a whole new set of friends. You think you'll never lose that friend, but you move away. Wow. Didn't think I'd lose touch, but, you know, things change and break up. So in this world, we're going to go and face sorrow and loss. Parents, I've talked to some parents this week that are grieving at the decisions that their children are making right now, how they're living, what they're deciding to do. Pastors are hurting. It's very hard to be a pastor in this hour. Yes. You have no idea. There's good pastors, and then there's people, I think, that are in there for the wrong reasons. You're going to have both. You can't just lump them all together, but there's pastors that are really hurting because that's the most rejected profession there is. People love you and then stab you in the back and leave you. How do you deal with that over and over, year after year after year? It's very hard. The widows, the orphans that have lost their parents, and then facing death. We don't know how to deal with death because it's a permanent gone. You never get to say hello again. It's a permanent goodbye. We've not been taught. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. We're supposed to weep with those that weep, not shut them up. We're supposed to be able to have that compassion. There's nothing wrong with me, but I'm very invested in that husband or wife, and they're gone now, and I love them, and I'm hurting. Can you handle a hurting person? You should be part of the Holy Spirit's solution to that person. Because he said, blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. He wants to use us to comfort each other. Instead, we've been taught, get over it. Yeah. Where's your faith? What's wrong with you? That's totally anti-Christ, that spirit. We're supposed to weep with those that weep and help them through it. Today, it's an us versus them. Pick a side. Very, very sad what's going on. And to me, I think, you know what, we have to love people where they're at. And if they choose this or that, some of the choices they make, but that doesn't mean I don't still love them. Your children are doing things you don't want them to do, but you still love them and you're there for them. But you can't be, here's a balance, you can't just take abuse either. Sometimes you have to let them go. And if they come back and repent, let them find you. Quit trying to, you know, keep on taking abuse after abuse. You're not going to change them. But when they're ready, they know where to come. And remember, hurt people. And we've all done it. We've all hurt people we didn't even know we hurted because we were hurting ourselves. People that are hurting you now are hurt because they've been hurt. That helps you in the forgiveness process. Hurt people. Face the loss. Face the painful reality of what occurred. And I think this is what bothered me the most about the movements I came out of. When I was grieving, my dad was dying, people were, they had no compassion, no love, no acceptance, get over it. Well, it's been a month. Do you know how long it takes to grieve? It depends upon how long the investment, how long did you invest in that relationship? Don't expect people to just bounce and be the same. They're going to have ups and downs. And if you're going to be part of the comforting, you have to know they're going to have good days and bad days. Face your emotions. Face them. I used to not. I used to block them out. My mom died. I don't care. I'll just, you know, I was a teenager and she wouldn't let me do nothing. She was very controlling and I had to stay in the house a lot. And I was just like, huh. But it hit me one day when I had to face my emotions. You have to face your emotions because you know what? They don't just go away. They come back and they build. And then you start blasting somebody for something you didn't deal with way back in your past. They accumulate these offenses. Blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. We're grieving. We're grieving our nation. We're grieving the churches. We're grieving a lot as a nation. Everybody is in grief and they don't know what to call it. When you grieve, you feel sad. You're unhappy. You have mental suffering caused by loss, disappointment, affliction or regret, mental pain. We mourn for the loss of something, someone or something that we loved, or change. We love the way things were. Why did they have to change? We go through grief. In grief, you express your feelings about your loss. Loss is a constant companion in our life, yet we don't know how to deal with it. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 6, for everything there is a season. That season represents change. Nothing's going to be the same. Your kids grow up and leave. Your grandkids grow up. Everything changes. Denial says, I can't and I won't accept what is happening. I won't accept it. We've seen Jacob, I think it was Jacob in the Bible, he refused to be comforted. He missed Joseph so much, he refused to be comforted. God doesn't want us to refuse comfort. When you're hurting, you need to allow yourself, give yourself permission to go through the emotions that you're feeling. Loss means you're separated. You're separated from that thing you love, that person you love, that job you love. And sometimes you'll never see it again. When your parents die, you never see them again. It's a final, permanent goodbye. Some of you are going through that right now. Can you handle just a little more? Loss is through death, divorce. Churches don't know how to deal with divorced people. They throw them out. There's no comfort. There's no help. Most people that go through stuff, they get more wounded. It's not supposed to be that way in churches. We lose when we move things, when we move houses. You lose your friends, you lose your neighborhood, you lose things. If you have an illness, you lose things. As you get old, you lose your hearing, your sight, your beauty, your figure. You lose a lot of stuff. Aging isn't for wimps, I'll tell you that. The longer we live, the more people you love die. Loss of the familiar. Something has ended. A bud is lost, but a rose appears. A seed is lost, but a plant grows up. You lose that baby tooth and you get permanent teeth. You graduate from high school, your friends change, everything changes. That's a huge moment. Things change. Change always involves some form of loss. But with that loss comes also a new opportunity for a new beginning. And you have to be able to let go of that loss so you can see the new beginning. Because if you're bitter, you won't see the new beginning. You'll stay stuck. I've been stuck. I refuse to be stuck. That's why I have a forgiving heart. I pray, God, give me an unoffendable heart. Sure, I work through stuff, but I paid the price of being bitter at some people way back when I first was in ministry and stuff. People are mean, let me tell you, as you know. Don't let them have power over you. Right. Don't give them that power. I'm going to close with tears and a couple other things here. Step one, face your pain. Face it. Feel and face all your emotions. Some days you're going to be happy, some days you're going to be sad. All you say is, I am at a loss and I'm grieving. It's okay to grieve. Tears, and I love this. Tears are, as I've been crying and snorting all this message, I don't like it when I start off that way. Tears are God's gift to us to release feelings and express my loss. There's no words needed when you're crying. I don't apologize for my tears since they are not a sign of weakness or lack of faith. When I'm crying, I don't need to be fixed because there's nothing wrong with me. I'm grieving and I feel the loss. I'm expressing my pain. Joseph, when he saw his brothers, he kissed all his brothers and he wept over them. In Genesis 45, 14, he wept. His brothers thought he was dead. He wept over them. When words fail, tears are our messenger. Tears are gifts. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them, rejoice, weep with those that weep. Tears express deep feelings. Words can't explain. You can't tell anybody how much you miss your dad. You miss your children when they move away. You can't tell anyone. But tears help you relieve those feelings. To refuse to mourn is to refuse to say goodbye. You have to learn to say goodbye to what's been taken away. Grieving says, I accept I can't do anything about this loss. Boy, don't you wish you could control everything. Don't you wish you could declare and decree everything and you could just have everything you said? Well, that's a lie. That was a false doctrine. You can't do anything about this loss. I'm not in control, but I have to learn to let go. It's a death process that comes before the resurrection of newness. You have to let go of the last season. For everything, there is a season to be able to handle the new season. And people aren't going to live forever. Your dad and mom can't live forever for our kids. There's coming a time where we have to die, so we have to learn how to go through this process. We say goodbye when we can no longer say hello. I love that. Nobody owns another person. What happens when our stuff gets old and it needs to be replaced? You have to learn to let go and quit hoarding. If you haven't used something for 3 years, get rid of it. Most of us, just in case. We're all learning. We gotta. You're not ever going to fit into size 4 again, so get rid of that size 4 and bless someone else. Oh, I hate that. We're not saying goodbye to the love. This is important now. We're not saying goodbye to the love that we feel, but goodbye to the thing we've lost. This is a hard one. How blessed I am to have known someone that is so hard to say goodbye to. I'm thinking of my grandma right now. We need to grieve, let go, and say goodbye, or we will have problems with depression, with discouragement, with self-pity. You have to let go when somebody doesn't want you to be around them anymore. Sometimes you have to let your kids go for a while. Talking to a mother today, you have to let them go. Hit the ditch, but be there when they're ready to come back. We're never ready to say goodbye, especially sudden loss. Sudden loss is the worst. At least if you know, like with my mom, I knew she had cancer and I knew it was getting worse and worse, but I'd never had anyone die before. I didn't know how to process death. And it was so sudden to me. She was gone. It was just like, I stayed at her coffin for the longest. I couldn't let go. I was like, this is it? As a young child, you have to tell and teach your kids about heaven and teach them about how to let go and where grandma went. But sudden loss is hard on everyone. I've done funerals. Sudden loss is the worst. But loss is the price we all have to pay for still living on the earth. Our pain tells us how much we've really loved. For people to say, oh, let it go. It's a process. When you really love somebody, and I love hard. I'm very loyal. But when you have to let go, you have to let go. Sometimes people let you go, and you have to process that. Saying goodbye is an act, is an art. Saying goodbye is an art we all have to learn. Say goodbye. Every loss needs to be recognized. The connection is broken and life will be different. It's not going to be the same. I must now live without this job, without this situation. That's why we have retirement parties, graduation parties, bridal showers, funeral services. Those are goodbyes. Saying goodbye is a healthy transition into the next phase of life. We have to learn to say goodbye. Blessed are those that mourn. They shall be comforted. We have to do a better job at mourning and letting people grieve. The Christian death is a transition, a tunnel leading from this world to the next. And how selfish we are when someone's so old and we don't want them to go, and they're hurting and their body's tired. We have to let them go. We have to say, you fought a good fight. You've endured to the end. We release you. Or we can hang it. This one girl, her dad died suddenly, and she couldn't let, a year later, she still wouldn't, she was grieving. She was terrible to be around. She couldn't learn how to let go of her dad. And I saw the depression, and terrible things happened because she couldn't process death. Recovery is like a scar from an operation. I broke my wrist. I've learned to live with the scar. It still aches now and then, but I don't cry like I used to. If you've ever broken a bone, and I broke mine at church. All right, this is the end, and I'll leave you to all your Kleenexes, because I'm sure you all got triggered a little bit too. Accept grieving people and let them know their feelings are normal. Be present. Be accepting. Listen. We are such terrible listeners. Can't wait to get the next word in. Can't wait to... Have you listened? Do you know what the people around you are really saying? Or are you just waiting to get a word in? Listen. Don't try to fix people when they're grieving. And don't tell them a time limit. Well, you should be done by now. Listen. Don't try and fix them. They will feel safe with you when you empathize with them and you care. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Father, we thank you that you help us all. We're all grieving something. We're all going through seeing situations change, families divided, churches divided, people that don't want to go back to church, people that are angry, that are bitter. And that's just the way the devil wants it. But Father, we thank you that you harden us to difficulties. You keep us, help us not be offended. Help us not be bitter. Help us forgive, let go, release. Because as we stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Heavenly Father can forgive you. Because when we get in unforgiveness, we block that forgiveness to us. So Father, help us forgive today, the past, and whatever might happen in the future. Help us, Lord, guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend.